Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, I am a follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their hard work, for we are both God's workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We are God's field. It sounds a little bit strange to our ears, yet this is exactly what the scripture tells us this morning. Y'all remember Jesus' parables about the seed and the sower? The seed sown is the word of God. The seed is sown into God's field, which is people's hearts. Matthew 13:23 says, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. It is in this that we understand that believers in Christ are God's field. People plant and water and tend the field, all while God causes the growth. In today's scripture lesson, the Corinthian believers were just beginning their faith journey. At times they acted worldly, and because of this, Paul called them infants in Christ. Now, it's not a bad title when you think of it. It's just simply a reminder that they were in the beginning stages of their faith journey, and they just didn't know it all yet. Paul fed them with milk because they were infants in Christ. He started with the basics. Something easily digestible, and then plan to move on to solid food. However, they were not yet ready for solid food because they were still acting according to their fleshly desires. There was jealousy and strife among them. They were quarreling against one another constantly. They previously worshipped many different false gods, and they had their favorites too, Paul and Apollos. An old habit from their favorite false god rivalry. But what was it that was so special about Paul and Apollos? They were human, normal, and ordinary men, just like the rest of them. Paul planted, and Apollos watered. The believers at Corinth needed to grow in their faith. They needed to mature and learn about God's great love for them. Children of God everywhere and in every generation need the same maturity in coming to know God more and more. We grow in our spiritual lives whenever we hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message comes through Christ, who is the word of God made flesh. As we read God's word, we learn more about the wonderful working of our Creator in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 says this. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. When we consistently read God's word, we have the opportunity to taste just exactly how good our Lord is. And it is then that we begin to crave God's word. Now, scripture is one way that God plants seeds into our hearts, but God also uses people. God uses people today to water the seed that was once planted long ago. We continue to hear the message and we continue to read God's word. We study the living, active, and powerful word of God. We grow in our love for the one who first loved us. Our soul wants to be fed, watered, and nourished in the truth. And through that process, our faith begins to mature. Hebrews 5:14 states, "Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." Children of God, you have a maturing faith. A mature Christian faith recognizes good from evil and comes to distinguish right from wrong. We are God's field. Our heart is the soil where God's seed is planted. Our heart is the soil where God's word is watered and nourished. Our heart is where God grows within us. And our lives are changed as our faith continues to mature. We want more out of life because we come to the realization that this world, in all its chaos and worldliness, has very little to offer us. This world can only provide stuff that does not endure. But on the contrary, the Lord provides us with eternal promise and blessing. Hosea 10:12 encourages us to plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. The Lord wants to bless us with righteousness. In the word, we discover that the righteousness of Christ covers our unrighteousness. His sinlessness pays for our sinfulness. It is by faith we are saved, by grace alone and through Christ alone. It was fleshly thinking for those in Corinth to favor Paul or Apollos more than any other because both of them served God. Paul planted and Apollos watered, but God was the one who caused the growth. Each had their own gifts to give, but the one who planted and the one who watered had one purpose. They were united in their working for the Lord. Each person in the kingdom of God has different gifts and talents to give. Paul was sent to plant the seed of God's word. Other believers followed up with the watering of that seed. The planting and watering are still carried out in much the same way today. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about journeying together. We first discussed our new beginning together and how God has placed us in community with one another. Last week, we talked about our foundation being Jesus Christ and how important it is to remain rooted and built up in that firm foundation. Today, we're talking about pouring into one another as fellow believers in Christ. Each person is important in God's work in different ways, but each work for the same purpose. We work in unity for the building up of the body of Christ. We are God's field. On its own, a field cannot do anything, for it is simply dirt waiting. Interestingly enough, we are also made from the dust of the ground. It's no wonder that the Lord uses examples of seed, of watering and planting for us to understand our role in his creation. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 103 verse 14, says, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Y'all, we are nothing without him. He is the very breath within us, the breath that keeps us going. We must remember that we are nothing more and nothing less than breathed on dust. When people ask me how long I've been going to church or how long I've been a United Methodist, I like to tell them that I've been attending church while I was still in my mother's womb. She was here this morning and she would have confirmed that, but she left to go back home. I took my first church directory picture at the ripe old age of 6 months old, and I wish I had it to share with you because my mom says it's pretty cute. I walked up to the altar every single Sunday as a child to watch Pop Troity pull a random item out of his velvet maroon bag and make up a children's sermon right there on the spot based on the item he pulled out. I'm still in awe of this day, how he did that. My Sunday school teachers taught me lessons from the Bible and brought them to life, not just in the imaginary sense, but in the way that was applicable to my life at the time. My youth leaders invested their time and energy into building a program that nourished me spiritually through prayer, through Bible lessons, through fellowship, and through mission work. I was continuously encouraged to be active in my church family as I participated in singing in the choir, playing in the handball choir, and helping to serve in worship in any way possible. As you heard the first Sunday I preached, Pastor Charlie prophetically shared the call on my life, and later, Pastor Joyce helped me discern that calling and come to accept it. Y'all, the list goes on and on about people who continually poured into me, who planted seeds and later watered them. But the moral and the point of that story is this. I would not be who I am today or doing what I do today had it not been for the people in my church family who planted seeds and watered and patiently waited for them to grow from birth through high school, through college, and even currently. During my formative years as a child who was growing in their faith, people of God poured their time, energy, love, and prayers into me so that I might come to know Christ as my firm foundation and come to know God as the gardener. So I want you to take a moment and think back on your life. Remember the different seeds that have been planted within your heart. God sent someone into our lives to plant a specific seed, and then other people came along and watered it. You see, on our own, we cannot come to believe. We cannot come to the faith by ourselves. God's prevenient grace brings us to Him and into a relationship with Him before we ever even know who God is. We are conceived in sin, and we are born in sin, but the Lord changes that the second we know Him. Ezekiel 36:26 tells us, "And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Nothing can grow in stone. However, seeds that are planted in hearts of flesh can take root and then be watered and grown and bear abundant fruit. We've talked about people planting seeds in my life, and we've remembered the seeds that have been planted in your heart. But what happens next? What comes next is that we are being propelled into the future, and it's imperative that we pass on the importance of planting and watering seeds in the lives of our kids and youth. Our children and our youth are the next generation of faith builders. But if they don't have people pouring Jesus into their life, it's going to be pretty hard for them to continue to grow spiritually. They need their church family. They need y'all. Y'all know you're the church family, right? Yeah. Okay, good. They need their church family to pray for them, to spend time with them, to teach them God's word, to be silly and fellowship with them, and above all, to love them like Jesus loved them. The first week I preached, I shared a blessing with y'all. Blessings are something that I have a book, several books of them, and it's something that I like to do in the morning when I wake up. I love to read through blessings. I have three specific books that go through the ordinary things of life that sometimes are often mundane or habitual. But we know that if God is with us, His presence is with us. And there's a blessing in the wait. The blessing this morning is called a liturgy for gardening. As I move through this, I want you to imagine that it is your heart or the hearts of our children and youth that are the soil that's being mentioned, or the ground that is being filled. O Creator who calls forth life, may this ground and our labors here invested yield good provision for the nourishing of both body and soul. As we work the soil of this garden plot, furrowing, planting, watering, and harvesting, may such acts become to us a living parable, a prayer acted out rather than spoken. As we co-labor with you and with your creation to produce a beneficial harvest, may we find in such toil a kind of breath. May this plot of ground become a hallowed space, and these hours a sacred time for reflection, for conversation with friends and family, and for fellowship with you, our Creator. Through our tending of these, your delightful creations, vegetables and fruits, beans and berries, vines and stalks, and roots and flowers, renew our own tired hope. Redeem our own wearied imagination. As we cultivate gentle order, training, pruning, weeding, and protecting, so cultivate and train our wayward hearts, O Lord, that rooted in you, the forms of our lives might spread in winsome witness, maturing to ear the good fruit of grace expressed in acts of compassionate love. Walk with us now, O Lord, in the stillness of this tilled and quiet space, that when we venture again into the still greater garden of your world, we might be prepared by the long practice of your presence to offer our lives as a true and nourishing provision to all who hunger for mercy and hope and meaning, a true and nourishing provision to all who hunger for you. Lord, let our labors in this garden be fruitful. Lord, let our labors in this garden be blessed. We are all God's children. We are all His beloved, whether you are young or old, wise, or just starting out in your faith. We are all God's field, composed of fertile soil, waiting for the next seed to be planted within our hearts, yearning to be watered and nourished, patiently waiting to see what God grows within us. We are the planters and the sowers in this world. John 15, verses 1 and 6 say, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This world needs God's truth, and God's truth lives within us. The very vine that we branch off from is the truth that everyone needs. It lives in us so that we can then pass it on and plant it into the hearts of others. All we have to do is abide. We plant the seed, or maybe we're the one who comes along later and waters it. But it is the Lord who causes the growth according to His plan, according to His purpose, and according to His promise. The Lord multiplies our spiritual harvest. We are indeed God's field. We're called to generously plant, to constantly water, and to pour into others, and then to sit back and watch and wait as we bask in God's presence to see what God grows among us. I've asked Haley to play this song after the sermon. I want you to sit and listen as God continues to fill your cup, as you remember that you are the branch that comes off the true vine, and that you are called to pour into others.
For my way the Spirit leads as I'm following. I depend on you. I depend on you for the victories still in front of me.
God, I depend on you. Holy God, we depend on you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the vine, and we are the branch. God, we are nothing without you. You are the breath within us. You are the vine that keeps us rooted. You are the gardener. You're the one who comes to fill our cup when we have run dry. God, won't you teach us to abide? remind us that we are called to journey together, to be in community as the body of Christ, pour into others, young or old, big or small. Lord, we are all your children, and we all need to be poured into from you, from your love. God, help us to grow in you, to be the branch that continues to spread your love with others. In Christ's holy name that we pray.